Hey guys, this is Stan
and Thomas,
and you're listening to the Exotic Car. Car show scene in LA is kind of crazy, right?
Is it? This is all I know. That's what I'm saying.
So here's the thing. So let's say 5 years ago. So what would that be? 2013 or so? It was like Motor Swap Meet. It's been around forever. Classic cars, vintage cars, parts. It was the Newport Beach one, which was pretty nice. And it was Cars and Coffee in Woodland Hills. And then you had the usual stuff like...
Irvine Cars and Coffee. The best one.
That's the Orange County one I'm talking about. That's Irvine, yeah. But then you'd have like Bob's Big Boy, and you'd have smaller cruise-ins, and like guys that knew to show up in parking lots, like for certain like Camaro clubs and, you know, LS clubs, whatever, that kind of stuff. What happened was the Irvine one got shut down.
I know.
The people got upset about it. Do you know the whole story? Because I know they got kicked out because of noise. Stuff. What'd you hear?
Well, if you're going to cancel a car show, saying it's noise is the easiest way to like get traction of to course. Shut it down, right?
Yeah. But why?
But I heard something, there was a, what's the hotel, like a Ritz or a Four Seasons?
Yeah, it's
one. They didn't like it.
But so why? They what's probably, the problem? But a bunch of supercars in your parking lot?
Probably, upset about I mean, it may actually be the noise. If you got like rich people that want to sleep in Sunday morning and you have people like tearing down the block in an Enzo, and somebody tried to slide coming out and slid into a car also, is what I heard.
Oh, well, that'll do it. So they pulled the Mustang?
I don't know what it was. But yeah, I heard someone slid, you know, like just taking off, leaving.
So basically the typical car show faux pas, they're leaving, they don't give a shit, they want to get a big presence, they try to do a little like burnout fishtail, they lose control and
if you want to get up. Shut down, be loud, have people sliding. And I mean, it's probably going to be easy to make you look like hooligans, right?
The one we just went to, like as you're pulling in, there's like 30 signs. Obey the law, be quiet, be a good neighbor, like all bunch of shit.
Which I'm sure nobody involved cares, but that's just what you have to do to cover your liability, right?
In all fairness, Dustin runs a pretty tight ship. If you're a bad apple, he'll just make sure you don't come in anymore.
Well, how's he going to do that?
He's going to tell you to leave because he's got cops working with him and for him at the show, keeping the peace, so to speak.
If he points at you, goes,
that guy can't be here, the cops are going to tell you to leave.
I'm pretty sure if I'm a jerk with a Chiron with my lawyer sitting shotgun, I can park wherever I want.
If you're a jerk with a Chiron with a lawyer sitting shotgun, you can get away with murder.
Exactly. So, like, it sounds cool, but that guy definitely, his reach is limited.
Everybody's reach is limited up until you get to a certain, you know,
right
income bracket.
Until you're Putin.
Sure, exactly. Which was crazy when Putin was it Forbes that voted him most powerful man in the world above Trump? It was one of it was Time or Forbes or something major. And when
it kills people,
an American, I know, but when an American magazine, journalistic company, I don't even know if that's a word, but when they vote the leader of the company of the country that's your biggest adversary. Other than maybe China.
China.
I know.
It's very complex, though. I mean, if I didn't like you and I had a magazine and I was like, Stan Kaplan, weakest man in the world, it could be that you're the weakest man in the world. It could be just, I don't like you.
So you're saying maybe the... Sure.
It's not like NBA where it's like points, rebounds, and it's very clear who's good. Who's most powerful? First of all, I don't think anybody knows how much money Putin has.
He has all the money.
Everyone says that, but like, it's very... hidden and murky, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because he makes his friends billionaires and they owe him.
Right, but I'm just saying, I don't think it's as straightforward as tax returns and things like that.
I'm not sure he has tax returns. It's Russia.
He doesn't have shit.
Right. The thing that I will say that I agree that this has got nothing to do with cars, but I think where his power lies is that...
You just lost all 12 of our listeners.
That's total. Maybe we'll get 4 more.
Hopefully your wife's listening and she'll stick with
she
it.
She has no choice. She has to listen to it.
So basically, we're just talking to her now.
But that's fine. love you, sweetie. Sorry. So Putin...
Did you just call Putin a girl?
Stop interrupting.
I'm going to have to find a new partner. You're going to get murdered now.
It just literally goes back and forth of us interrupting each other. We never get anywhere.
Go.
The thing that every president in America can never touch when they're talking to real world leaders, and I'm using that term loosely, is they're gone in 8 years. At best.
Right.
Like, what kind of promises can you make?
Putin's forever.
Right. This, like, when the guy's like, I'm thinking of 40 years from now, like, my strategy is that long term. Your strategy is really 2 years.
Well, that's why he doesn't care, because he's like, I'm going to outlast all of you.
Exactly.
Have you seen, though, when he drives a motorcade? This does relate to cars. Like, here, you get a police escort. They close down the block. When he's, like, traveling, they shut down, like, all of Russia. And then he has police escort. And you look, and there's nobody on the road. You're like, there's power. There's police escort power. And then there's, I'm going to close the town. So people can watch me roll in power.
And the town is Moscow. It's like L.A. It's not a town. It's like,
not some country weird.
Right, it's like 30 million people.
That's crazy, right?
Right.
It's insane. I mean, that's a way to make an entrance.
It's
cool, though. You watch video and he's cruising down the road and there's no people.
Have you seen it? Do you think that's staged or do you think it's legit every time he travels? Because that's fucking convenient. Like, if you're his people, you're going to get upset.
I don't know. I don't know if it's only for certain stuff.
Because him, like, wrestling bears on the back of a horse shirtless, that shit's staged. Somebody invited a cameraman.
Did he drive an F1 car? Or an F3 car? F2? He drove some with the wheel.
Why not?
Also probably staged.
Kinda. He also played against like the Russian Olympic hockey team.
There's a story I heard. I don't know if it's true. And this is obviously not car related. But there's a story they were having like the G whatever summit. Right?
Sure.
And obviously all those guys are super alpha. So there's one gym at their hotel. So they were all like vying for like the 8, 9 a.m. time when everybody works out.
All right.
And Obama wanted it and Putin wanted it. And they were kind of like, you could tell they were kind of like both fighting for it. And then Putin's camp goes, you know what? Take the gym. No problem. And so Obama's like on the treadmill, like walking or whatever, and looks out the window. And Putin was doing laps in the lake that was outside, just swimming in the lake, just to let him know, like, hey, you're on a treadmill in like scrunchy socks, and I'm swimming in a lake.
Right. I believe it.
Pretty interesting.
I believe it. I mean, there's the games these guys play, right? But crazy. Car shows.
The Wizard.
He's not the... What the hell's his name? He's like a very reasonable name.
Like,
so we went to a car show this morning. It was the Topanga Canyon Supercar Sundays. I think that's what it's called.
Yeah.
Dustin puts it on. He does a great job. He's been doing it forever. Off and on, it's been sponsored by like Auto Gallery and other companies. And there's Drive Magazine now that he puts out.
I think it was Driven World.
Is it Driven World? It is Driven
Something
World.
Something like
you.
That.
Thank you. It is Driven World. And we came in, so last week we missed it. So the first Sunday of every month, they celebrate a marquee. Last week was Ferrari, and it was huge, and it was blowing up, and there was some really nice metal there. There was some cool cars there. So this one was quiet, because everybody that had that itch kind of got it out of that one, so it was a lot of...
Reminded me of a car show from Sacramento when I was a kid.
In what way?
It was just like normal people and normal cars.
But not like Toyota Corollas. There was like good Mopar, some Vets, some like...
Right. But you would see that in any major city in the country.
Yeah, like, you know, superchargers sticking at the hood.
Car shows you go to and you walk right by a Bugatti because there's more interesting stuff.
This was not that.
This was not that.
No, this wasn't that. This was...
Well, people are like, look, there's an Enzo.
Mustangs, Camaros, Viper, some Porsches showed up, a BMW Click showed up, a lot of American Muscle.
Infiniti G35?
Yeah.
With a body kit?
Sure, whatever. I'm not going to hate. There's plenty of space in the parking lot, right?
There was plenty of space in the parking lot.
Yeah. So we're walking around, and there's some cool stuff. There's a couple of R8s that showed up with wheels and potentially twin turbo kits, but I couldn't see one.
There was an F12.
There was an F12, there was a 48. Those were like everyday cars, though.
Yeah. They're not really car show cars, right?
Yeah, they're
not. We talked about car guy cars. There's car show cars, right?
I think car show cars, like, okay, so...
Stuff you built in your garage and slaved over...
A bit.
...is cool.
Well, so tell me what you think about this. What I think of as an old school car show, what this kind of was, is guys in their 57 Chevy that's super clean.
Yes.
They pull up to a car show. They've got, like, a... magazine or a placard in the window that tells you what the car is and what magazines it's been in. They've got a chair. They've got a big sun hat.
They have a shirt from another car show. That's tucked in.
Probably.
Probably a hat.
Yes. Some detail spray. Occasionally. What are those dolls?
What do they call them? The microfiber?
Sure. And then one of those dolls that's like looks like a kid that's grounded and like standing in the corner.
What?
They prop up against the car or like feet hanging out. They're just trying to get attention. That's like a super car show thing.
That's a little bit like creepy,
super
like
specific.
Jeffrey Dahmer, also a little bit. Okay.
So there's a lot of that, and that's like what I got used to as car shows.
Yeah, this was like reminding me of childhood.
Yes. The new car shows are just rich fucks showing up for an hour.
Correct. That's what I'm used to.
Getting free coffee, socializing with the exact same people they've been socializing with forever. Like, they don't meet anybody new. They'll answer a couple questions, maybe. And they all go for a cruise.
But this was not that.
This was not that. So the coolest guy we came across, which was super interesting to me because I'm a bit of a futurist, and I guess I am a futurist in the automotive world, is...
The Wizard.
The Wizard. And the Wizard had a Porsche 914 with a wide body kit, which is the 914 6 or GT body kit.
What would you call the paint scheme? What would you call
that? Rattle can, satin black, matte black.
And red.
Poor rattle can.
And had a Porsche sticker and some gray.
It was terrible. And... But it was electric.
Yeah. No, it was very cool.
It was electric. So what he did was he took 10 Tesla water-cooled batteries.
Which, where do you buy those, by the way?
You get them from salvage yards. So there's a company called EV West.
Oh, that's where you got those?
So they buy trash smart cars, which those are Tesla batteries, and trash Teslas, like Model S's and stuff, like total cars, and they take them apart, take the motors out, take the controllers out, take the
batteries out. Can't imagine there's a ton of total Teslas yet, is
there? I bet you there's a ton of total Teslas in Los Angeles.
Because who's driving them?
Exactly. Well, there's fairly a lot of them. There's a reasonable amount.
Not compared to like a Toyota Corolla or something like that, you know?
Yeah, but if I can go find a Ferrari in a salvage yard, I can definitely get a Tesla.
Can you find a Ferrari in a salvage yard?
Yeah, there's a guy that I know up north that does nothing but exotic salvage.
That's interesting business.
It's just niche.
Yeah, very niche.
Like, I bought a 458 quarter panel from him. I bought Aventador bumpers because those things are carbon fiber and 10 grand a piece. I actually know him from like 10 years ago when I needed a second gen Viper hood. You know what the thing costs? It's carbon fiber and Kevlar, and it's a giant piece.
It is a giant piece.
They're dumb expensive. Wow. They were like $22,000 when the things were new. I got it for $13,000.
That's ridiculous.
It was dumb. It might have been a Gen 1 Viper, actually. I forget which one it was.
Good one.
I hate the Gen 1 Viper.
It's cool, though. It was cool. I mean, maybe. It's rinky-dink, but it's cool.
Super rinky-dink. Very close to a Shelby Cobra, which is kind of cool.
So the Wizard.
Which
we mean lovingly.
We do. Took 10 Tesla batteries, wired 5 of them in series with the other 5. So it's 5 batteries in series and then 2 in parallel. And then how would it be?
Yeah.
So it's like 2 pairs of 5.
Yeah.
Anyway, going to an electric motor and then going to the 5-speed transmission in the 914.
There was some other thing he had that you guys were talking about that I didn't even understand.
The bus system?
Where like after the batteries and then after where the... 2 turn into 5, there was some other little like box thing.
Oh, so well, those are fuses what you're talking about. So what he did was...
It was kind of crazy.
He obviously has like an electrical engineering or like an electrician background.
I'd love to know his background because it was pretty like crazy.
He did something really smart and I don't know electronics well enough to explain it, but he basically made the hookup of the batteries very simple by using a bus system and some fuses. But the way he did it was super backyard. Like, it was janky as hell. So it was, like, brilliant and janky. It was, and mind you, what did he say he charges for that? Like, a $20,000?
He said 20 grand for everything, right?
That's not cheap. I mean, the parts are pretty expensive.
Yeah. But I wonder how much is his labor.
Right.
Because those batteries got to be expensive, right?
They are, yeah.
The other thing I was going to ask, how do you charge? We didn't ask him, like, is there, because a Tesla, you just plug it in?
You plug it in.
Where, did you see like a charge port on that thing?
Yeah. So what you do is you get a traditional, I forget what the name of it is called, a traditional charge port for a Tesla. You have a controller, which was that box with fins on it and a fan. Mm-hmm. That was the speed controller. And then there's a charge controller. And then the charge controller has a built-in like a battery monitoring device to make sure that because what happens with these batteries is if one of them has a dead cell and you try to charge it, it blows up the whole thing.
Like Christmas tree lights, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Christmas tree lights or Christmas lights. If there's one that's out, the whole thing is done.
Yes, but this actually explodes and bursts into flames.
So more Christmas tree lights combined with fireworks.
So people that have used electric remote control cars,
mm-hmm.
like a Traxxas or something, would understand like balancing batteries and stuff.
The other interesting thing was the app.
Well, no. So what he said was, so the controller for his motor was a more analog technology where you have to like flip switches on the controller to go reverse or backward and that kind of thing.
What was it called, like a Kelly controller or something?
So a Kelly controller is a brand of controller that is now smart enough that it's got a Bluetooth and an app. So on your phone, you can monitor your batteries. You can put them into... Because think about it this way. I asked him if he has regen. So he has regen.
Yeah. Which is crazy. Like, how that guy did that?
No, it's not hard. It's really? Part of the controller. You use a fly-by-wire throttle because you have to. It's no longer, obviously, a regular throttle.
Of course.
And you can adjust, like in a Formula One car, you can actually adjust your regen.
Really?
Yeah.
So if you crank it up...
You let off the gas, the car back slows really down hard. Like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
They call it like one pedal driving.
Yeah.
So you let off the gas to slow down for traffic, and it'll bring you to a full stop.
Wow.
And
charge you up more doing that.
And
right?
Charge your battery, right? So you have, so you use your brakes less.
It's pretty interesting.
It's what I really liked about it, and I love that you called out the paint job and how janky it was. And in all fairness, that wasn't his car. That was a customer car that he brought to the show. So jankiness is hard to judge. But what I love about it is the car wasn't finished. The system wasn't finished. He's doing a different system for his personal car that's actually water-cooled and has a radiator for the electric batteries.
And then what and MG? Or,
It was an Austin Healey Sprite. Tiny little thing. But what's cool was it reminded me of like hot rodding. It's the new version of hot rodding because nobody was standing around the 57 with the LS swap that you've seen a billion times, or the El Caminos or the Camaros, or there were like 8 GTRs lined up in a row and nobody gave a damn.
Right.
I mean, they're all one club. They're all friends. They all showed up. I mean, we came in a Boxster and I parked in the Porsche area, and then there were like, I don't know, probably 10 Porsches when we left.
And I left an empty Rockstar can on your passenger seat.
That's fine.
No, I took it out at the end, but I'm saying while we were there.
Oh, you did it on purpose because I forgot to wash my car.
It looked lived in.
Yeah, it looked lived in. But what I loved about it was that it had that home-built hot rod theme. But if you think about it, that's super futuristic.
No, it is. That's why I wasn't trying to talk shit on the guy's paint job. What I was just saying was that, let's say you were just a run-of-the-mill person.
Sorry, guys. That's my bad. I'll edit it out. Go ahead.
If you're a run-of-the-mill person who wasn't really into cars, walking around, you'd look at that and go, that's the biggest piece of shit I've ever seen.
Yes.
If you're actually someone that knows even a little bit, you'd look at that and go, that's pretty interesting. So my point was, aesthetically, worst car there. But if you looked at what was actually going on inside, without question, the most interesting car there.
Yeah, because like we walked past a Corvair, and you're like, why does this have an air-cooled like flat motor in the back of what looks like a Chevy, or like says Chevy on it? Like, what's going on here? Like, the engineers must have been smoking on crack, or the sales department.
I thought
like,
someone just did it to be cute, or just
right,
because it doesn't make a lot of sense.
And it never did.
Which is why that car.
So that thing didn't get any love. Down, but now, but see, here's the thing. So this company, EV West, they're down south, just north of San Diego. And they will sell you batteries, controllers, gauges, motors, and full conversion kits to turn everything from a, let's see, they do Karmann Ghia, Volkswagen Beetle, Porsche 911, Porsche 914, VW Beetle, VW Thing, and a few other ones that I can't think of off the top of my head. They'll sell you an actual kit to make those cars electric. And that's kind of cool if you think about it. And currently, like, I talked to them a week ago because I'm thinking about doing a special project. And they're currently developing a, like, a sand rail or a dune buggy kind of thing where it has switchable batteries. You can change the batteries out and keep going.
Like Formula E?
No, they switch cars. They don't switch batteries.
They can just pop the batteries out?
No.
How hard is that, though?
Very.
And they're probably heavy. And I mean,
very.
It's not like you could just go flip them out. You need like equipment and stuff, right?
So you either have to have a lot of them so they're light enough for you to hold. And the minimum weight is like 50 pounds for like a Tesla, I think.
Yeah.
So there's either that option or they have to be like a system, like a forklift or a jack. But then you've got to have a connection point. So I talked to a guy named, I think it was Mike. He's the owner of Romeo Power. Romeo Power makes electric batteries for a ton of automotive providers. Not for Tesla, they do their own, but for like, I think Faraday Future uses them and a few other companies use them. I think Fisker or Karma, one of those uses
whatever that company's called now, which I think is. I saw a I keep seeing the commercials on YouTube.
Which company?
Is it Fisker now?
Yes.
It's back to Fisker.
So the car.
But they use the same car and renamed it.
Right. So it was.
It's still a Karma.
It was the Fisker Karma. Now it's the. So Fisker was a car company. Karma was the model.
Right.
Now it's the Karma car company Rivero model, but it's the same as that car.
No one could get confused. That's brilliant, right? Who came up with that?
No, literally, I did it.
They're like, let's smoke some pot and come up with some names. They're like, why don't we just name the company the old model?
Yeah. I did
really?
A small, I did
That's
a small
the best they could do?
I did a small case study on that car and other up-and-coming car companies, and they're really hurting on their social media marketing because when somebody sees that car, they Google Fisker.
And then they Google that fan, catch on fire.
Well, not just that, but Fisker has his own car. Heinrich Fisker has his own electric car.
He redid a Mustang, right?
No, that was... So yes, but that's different. That's the Rocket. No, yeah. He's got a Fisker E-Motion, I think it's called.
Where do they come up with these names?
Yeah, that's a good point. But
Didn't he design something cool? Didn't he design like the DB9 or something?
He designed the Z8.
Right.
I don't know if he designed any Aston Martins.
There
he
was
may
some cool
have.
Cars that he designed, though.
Forget there. Like he's a legitimately good car designer, terrible
yeah.
businessman. He keeps getting money to start companies, and then they don't do well.
It's like he's very Wozniak and wants to be Jobs.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah, that's about right. Yeah, you just the only thing is that he, all of his designs do kind of feel the same. You can see like, remember when he redid the BMW 8 Series
mm-hmm.
and the SL Mercedes.
Mm-mm.
So he put body kits on those cars, but he fully rebodied them. But you can tell it's a
I think a lot of Led Zeppelin songs sound similar.
That's fair.
You can be good, but when it's coming from you, it's probably hard to make them super distinct, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a designer, so it's hard for me to make that statement, but it does make sense.
Terrible name for a company, though. The whole Fisker Karma now is Karma.
History.
And then
history.
What's it called? The Karma what? Some of them are.
Rivero. It's the Fisker E-Motion. Right? Emotions, E-Motion. He's trying to play on words.
This is a verbal disaster.
It is. And then it's the Karma Rivero.
The other thing was the commercial was like something to the effect of the car you've always wanted can now be your car or something.
As long as you have $150,000.
And I was thinking it should have been something like, hey, the first one sucked, but this one's much better. It just was like they were trying to sell something as super premium that didn't really catch on to begin with. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it. It's a challenge, too, because...
I mean, they should have changed the whole name.
Well,
they should have changed up the body more. I mean, get away from...
They should have changed the body more.
It's like if I bought Chernobyl and was like, hey, this is now Disneyland. People are like, isn't that the old Chernobyl site? It's like...
Right.
It's not... It's
and also, I think Bob Lutz tried to buy that company and put Chevy V8s in those things.
I remember...
Because they look good.
That wouldn't have been terrible. That actually
would
not have
been
a bad idea.
Yes, I agree. I kind of want that too. The problem is that the interface, the electronics, the door seals, everything's proprietary.
Just
like, you know how we...
Pull some stuff and like do some fabrication from Corvette parts.
You'd have to. But like,
rock and roll.
Not for the engine bay, but for just like seat controls and stuff.
You know what other car similar to that?
What?
The i8, which I can't stand. The Beamer.
Yeah.
Which looks cool.
Yeah.
But the whole... Hybrid, blah, blah, blah. If they took like a engine from an M6 and just tweaked it up to like 800 horsepower and threw it in that body with the crazy doors, how cool would that be?
Very.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool that they showed the tech.
I think that I would go further than that because it is carbon fiber. It is mid-engine. It is kind of a cool car. I think a 4-cylinder with like 400 horsepower would be killer in that thing.
The engine they chose is probably not in my top 5 if I'd been running BMW, what I would have put
well,
in.
Well, but it's an electric car. It's not a hybrid. It's an electric car with an onboard generator.
Right.
That's all it is. So it's not meant for sounding good or fuel or anything other than fuel efficiency and just turning a generator to create electricity to power the batteries to power the car. That's it.
Right. So like an M6 engine with a bunch of juice in that car screaming down the road with the doors going up.
It would
be like a mini Lambo.
It would be the modern version of the M1.
Which would be awesome.
It would be awesome.
But I'm sure there's some business case why they didn't do it. But in terms of just something that would have been really cool.
You want to try to do it?
I think that's probably expensive. But that would be cool.
I wonder how much you can get those for. So I bet you can get the car for like, I don't know, like slightly wrecked or maybe something damaged, flood damage, whatever. Call it $50,000, maybe even less.
A rough one.
A rough one. Right. You can't do an LS because I would kill you if you did an LS because it's just so lame. So you'd have to do like a BMW V8 or V10 or...
What about the engine? I don't know if it fit, but the engine from like two or three generations ago, M5, when it's a V10?
Oh, no, that's a terrible motor. You want the one before that, the 4-liter V8.
Or what was like the 2005 M5? That was an 8, right? Or was that a 10 still?
No, that was a 10. The ugly M5 with the horrible trunk?
I like it.
Everybody hated that thing. Don't say you like it.
It sounds cool and it was fast, but I'm saying probably an 8 would fit. 10 would probably be tough.
Right.
Even a modern, like what's in the M4 now in that car would be really cool.
M4 is a straight 6 twin turbo.
That would be really cool. And just tweak it up a little bit.
Wouldn't fit.
You think it'd have to be a 4?
Well, a 4 and an 8 are the same length.
Right.
So the width doesn't matter because it's a mid-engine. That's why a V8 could fit.
So what's the biggest thing you could fit in there? And you'd want turbo just because extra power and not a lot of space.
I mean, the smartest thing to, in my opinion, because all of the new stuff is turbocharged, so you got a lot more plumbing. You got turbos, you got pipes, you got charge coolers, intercoolers, whatever. That's complicated. I would say go with the E39 V8 out of the M5 or the E90 V8, BMW, the M3. The M3 with the V8.
The last M3 with the V8.
Yeah, use that
motor. Spencer Brooks' car.
Yeah. Use that motor on a Porsche transaxle, because you got to convert it to mid-engine.
Right.
Like a Boxster transaxle or something. And
that car would be sick.
You're in good shape.
That car would be sick.
It's carbon fiber. It's lightweight. It looks cool. It would sound amazing.
That would be sick, right?
You could... Ooh.
I'm sure it would be as good for pushing the brand forward and making it look futuristic and blah, blah, blah. Sure. But just in terms of, I was like, Stan, do you want the i8 as is? Or do you want the BMW M swap i8 to go goof around with? It's not even close.
Well, obviously, because the biggest problem with the i8 is... I think anybody who's curious about tech and wants to be Iron Man... Who's the guy who was actually Iron Man? What was his name?
Iron Man was R8.
I know. But that car very much feels like a futuristic billionaire playing around.
It does.
But nobody in their right mind would keep that car past its warranty.
Yeah.
Like, like you literally never want to buy a new car, a new model, the first year it came out if it has new tech.
Because they're trying to be a baller.
Well, but yeah, but they haven't figured it out. So they spend half its time at the service center, right?
And new cars are better, though. I mean, that's probably less true.
I don't know.
They're pretty. I mean, new stuff's pretty good. If you get like a brand new Mercedes or Beamer, I mean, they're pretty good.
I mean, we bought Elisa a A5 cab.
First year
of the new body style, whatever. And but it was the terrible. MMI still has problems, and actually, it's mostly MMI. To be honest, it's mostly
that's what it is.
Brain, yeah.
You realize how good like. Remember, like, when we were kids, and it was like, oh, my transmission's going, or, like, my brakes are shot.
That doesn't happen anymore.
None of that.
That doesn't happen
anymore. Who was the last person you know with a car that's less than 10 years old that was like, my transmission's going out? I mean...
Unless it's, like, a...
Obscure case. You're going to come up with...
issue. Like, right. Ford F-150s were blowing transmissions and expeditions and stuff.
Because there's a bug. But in general...
In general, they're bulletproof now.
New cars are so good. Well, I think we take that for granted.
It blew my mind when I started working for BMW as a service writer. And I learned that all the transmissions are sealed. You can't. There's no dipstick because you can't change the fluid because it's designed to go the life of the car.
Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy.
I mean,
a brand new
Corolla versus a 250 GTO Ferrari, which is a $50 million car, around a track. And also, if you just did like 0 to 100 to 0, that Corolla will go forever. That 250 GTO is going to start burning
up. That's so unfair.
You know?
That's so unfair.
But it's just interesting. One car is $60 million. One car is $18,000.
But it's not $60 million because it's $60 million fast.
But it's still $60 million.
It's a piece of art.
It's still $60 million.
I mean, it's like saying...
I'm just saying new cars in general.
Do you believe this Jackson Pollock costs what it costs and the paint isn't made out of gold? It's sort of irrelevant.
And it looks like a children's painting.
Yes. I mean, yes, it does. Look, okay,
anyway, you want to
Monet did good work?
To me, Dolly's the best.
Sure.
Because I look at Jackson Pollock and I go, I could do that. I look at a Dolly painting and I go, can't do that. I could take every art class. I couldn't do that.
You couldn't think of doing that.
And even if I did, I couldn't. Yeah, I mean, it's insane.
But like the big impression,
I could do Jackson Pollock.
Everybody can do a Jackson Pollock.
This is a Monet that I did, by the way, in an art night class.
So you're pointing to a picture on the wall that looks like it's roughly a bridge going over a bed of flowers.
Lily pads.
I think it's actually kind of nice.
All the women in the art class actually said that mine was the best. They huddled around mine.
That's because you're big and good looking.
They said there was a lot of movement.
There is. There's a lot of movement.
Which I was like, I don't even...
I like your use of color. I think maybe you had some issues.
Like as a child or while I was doing that?
Maybe both.
It's aggressive. I like it.
Like, what's the dark inkiness creeping into your beautiful, lush garden?
That's just like the world closing in around you.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, you got some issues.
That's an interpretation. That's what I see every day. There's the little... it's closing in a little bit. Like a scope on a rifle.
Yeah.
That's my life.
I can see that. I can see you've got some issues.
But it's fun. I mean, everyone else just tried to copy it. And I was like, this is not creative.
It is.
I was like, you know what? I started copying it. I thought, I'm going to go a little crazy here.
Yeah. No, I mean, honestly, look.
Dolly's amazing. Have you seen swans reflecting elephants?
Of course.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
To think of it and to do it. And then you show people that and they're like, it's just birds on a lake. It's boring. And you like look upside down. And they're like, holy shit.
Yeah, it's cool.
That's sick.
It's super cool.
And do you know he had a pet anteater? That he walked around Manhattan.
No, I didn't know that.
Do you realize how weird that is? Even for a painter? There's a picture of him coming out of a subway walking an anteater. Which if you've never seen one, you can't tell what's an arm and what's the head.
Yeah.
It's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life.
You know that Picasso? Because he was alive when he was already a legend.
Mm-hmm. He was the only one. I was just thinking about this other day.
Yeah, and he was like the biggest deal in the world and he knew it.
I heard
he was a jerk. So he would literally not carry around any money.
Is this from the Macaulay Culkin podcast on Rogan?
It might
be. He was talking about it.
Yeah, where he would just like have a sketchpad and like for dinner, he's like, here you go, you got Picasso.
Yeah.
Like, I guess, okay.
Which is crazy egotistical.
Or he's just a businessman and he understands how that works.
I have to show you this Dolly thing very quick. This is not me getting on my phone for business.
That's okay. There's a couple of cafes in Venice, not Venice Beach, California, but Venice, Italy, where like these starving artists that now the art is worth millions of dollars.
Is that the weirdest thing you've ever seen in your life?
It's Dolly, or is it that Dolly?
Dolly walking an anteater.
Walking, and this is like a full-size, gigantic African,
it's
like...
It's a big animal.
3-4 foot long anteater.
That's like a 40-pound, like, what is that,
at
a
least.
Rodent? It's not Look, rodent. I think it's that's the nose, right?
Yeah.
And that's an arm?
I mean, I'm assuming he's not walking backwards, so yes.
Well, no, but I can't tell if that was...
Yeah, it's a paw.
That's a weird... That's bizarre.
Yeah.
And, by the way, just on a rope...
Go to the LA Zoo.
I mean... First of all, he's
Dude,
obviously
it's an anteater. What do you think he's going to do? Attack somebody?
I'm not an anteater expert.
But neither am I, but I don't think they kill people. It's an anteater.
Still scary. That thing would scare the shit out of me. First of all, it probably smells. It just looks like it smells disgusting. It looks like a shag carpet from my grandpa's house.
Yeah, it does.
It's been collecting
dust.
It's
a cheap fur coat.
What's interesting is, so you have Picasso. I was reading about this the other day. You have, what's his name? Who cut his ear off?
That was...
Van Gogh.
Yes.
Hated himself. Yes. Thought he was a
they
complete piece of shit. Killed
they all
him.
Do. Except for Picasso.
And then Picasso, clearly, he was worth like $500 million, they said.
Oh, yeah. He had like mistresses.
So he realized, he was the only artist that realized like, oh, I'm the man.
Yeah.
And I'm going to like enjoy every second of this. Versus most of these other guys think they're terrible. Wasn't Van Gogh the only painting he sold was to his brother, like out of pity for like 10 bucks?
Yeah. He didn't make any money when he was alive.
Isn't that crazy?
The thing is here's the thing. And I'm not a big art guy, so people are going to jump down my throat for being wrong about everything. But
and you're to make you feel better, I don't think a lot of our listeners are.
In that case, I'm going to try
billion dollar art collectors.
I know exactly what I'm talking about.
If there is someone listening, you know, good for you.
True story. So the whole impressionist movement and a lot of what we consider fine art and valuable and this kind of stuff, a lot of it was not per se the skill of the artist, it was time and chemistry. Like, I think I'm right about saying this.
Art's a weird deal.
Cadmium yellow had just come out when Monet was coming up. Because, mm-hmm. So there's an artist called Manet.
I know.
That was in Monet's time period.
They talked about that in Ocean's 11, remember? When she has the art gallery and George Clooney goes, was it Manet or Monet? Which one dated his sister or something like that?
No, I haven't seen that movie. But
you haven't seen Ocean's 11?
No, but I've seen the movie about Monet. And Manet thought that Monet was ripping him off. He thought he was trying to copy his name so that he could sell more of his art. Because he was nobody knew who he was. And Monet was not a good artist. The reason he has so many versions of the hay bales and so many versions of different things is because he would have to paint really quickly to get the scene before the light changed. And when the light changed, he would have to get a different canvas and start again. So they're all progressions of, like, you know, the golden hour in photography.
Yeah.
They're all progressions of light, which is kind of cool. But he's not a good artist. He couldn't remember jack shit.
So does this mean my idea to become a pop singer named Justin Bieber, I can't do that anymore?
I guarantee there's probably a porn star now, though.
It's interesting, right? They say Stairway to Heaven was a ripoff. There was some band that opened for Zeppelin.
Oh, man, they're all
ripoffs. No, but they, like, in court, you listen to it. One was, like, 10 years before. And then listen to it, and you're like...
I know.
And I love that song, and I listened to it, and I was like, it was like one of the few times in my life I've actually felt heartbreak, because I really felt like, oh, they totally stole this song.
Of course they did. Did you ever hear the court case?
And then at that point, they were so big, their lawyers probably just bullied the original guys, right?
I'm assuming, or just paid them off.
They're just like...
But did you ever hear the court case of Vanilla Ice? Ice Ice Baby?
Where he said, yours was dun 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 dun, mine was dun 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 dun. He really thought... That was, like, a massive difference.
And now, honestly, everything's freaking sampled.
Yeah.
Like, there was a study that came out that was really interesting that basically said something like... Because I sent this to Elisa because she keeps saying that modern music sucks. And
which I try to defend it. I love her for, because she's 98%. There's, like, little nuggets here and there.
There's some good stuff.
There's, of course, but the majority is
so
horrendous.
They took all of what you could call pop music, which would probably start roughly Beatles, maybe no, not before, not Beatles, Presley.
The only bad thing with using Beatles is Beatles was pop, but it was also crazy talent.
So hang on. Well, it depends how high they were, because if you listen to their progression, some stuff wasn't actually that good.
Right.
But
Katy Perry's popping is just pure shit. Billy Corgan said it best: pop is porn. He's like, it's just designed to get you off, make you feel real good for 2 minutes in the car. It's not designed to make you think. It's not designed to make you interesting. It's just designed to make you feel happy while you drive your Jetta.
That's true. That's true. You know? But so they put all the music, all would be considered pop music, into an algorithm, into a computer to crunch all the data. Everything that they can find, every way they can slice it.
Which it's hard to quantify with data.
So
because it's art.
Yes. So, but what they quantified was music has become less complex.
100%.
So, like, Beatles had, like, a 100-person live orchestra behind them. Modern music is
a bass
synthesizer, a sample of somebody else's shit, a vocal, and maybe a string instrument. That's it, right?
And that's if you're lucky.
That's if you're lucky. But, and then the other problem is, apparently, that there's, like, two guys, one in Canada, one in the U.S., that have done all the pop music for all the
musicians. Max Martin from Sweden. If you go down his list, it's like every big Britney Spears song, every big Christina Aguilera song, every big...
Yeah.
And it's this Swedish guy with greasy hair that you didn't know existed. And has won like 60 Grammys and worth hundreds of millions.
Yeah.
Or the guy from One Direction, Ryan Tedder. They bring him in. Like when Taylor Swift is recording and the label is like, this is fucking horrible. They call him, like, we'll give him $1 million to come for 2 days. And he comes, he's like, how about we sing this like this? How about we do this? How about we do this? And then boom, sells a million copies in the first day.
That's amazing.
Yeah, there's hired guns.
That is talent.
I met him and I was like, hey, it was at a concert. And I was like, hey, nice of you to, like, prop up the pop industry. And he kind of, like, looked at me, like, not a lot of people probably say that to him. And he kind of grinned and, like, winked, like I knew.
Because he knows.
And he was like, wow, that's cool that someone is giving me credit. Because they probably tell him, hey, don't go around telling everybody you fixed Taylor Swift's shitty album. Because it doesn't look good for her. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's cool. On that note, to make it related to cars.
Oh, yeah. Kind of. Maybe.
One thing I was thinking, like, Pebble Beach, it's cool. Obviously, what year did Enzo die? Ferrari.
I don't know. I got to Google
maybe that. Maybe the 90s? 90, maybe mid-90s?
The last car he was involved in was the...
40 to Enzo F50. Kind of day.
It wasn't the Enzo.
F50.
Because the Enzo was named because he was dead.
So he died, like, early 90s. And I remember, like, a year or two ago, I was at Pebble Beach at Quail.
Yeah.
And you go, and then you go to Ferrari, they have whatever.
McLaren, in 88.
McLaren. Oh, you're my birth. One angel leaves, one angel comes in.
That must be what happened.
So, you go, and you can go, and you can meet Horatio Pagani.
Yeah.
And, like, shake his hand, and be like, what Christian made you do that?
Egg, yeah.
So, that's kind of, those guys, I think, are like the modern Ferruccio and Enzo.
Of course.
It's kind of cool to be able to, like, meet a guy.
Yeah.
And say, hey, what if you did this? How'd you come up with this? It is cool. I mean, when they're dead, it's almost cool, like dead rock stars.
Yeah.
Where you're like, Kurt Cobain, you listen to Nirvana, you know he's dead.
When I met Horatio Cobain cool. at the factory, I felt like I was meeting a rock star.
It's cool, right?
And he's really small.
What's cooler, though? He throws a good party, though.
I have no idea.
He throws a party.
I've never been to Horatio Pagani party.
Horatio Pagani, I have. Horatio Pagani likes girls more than he likes cars. I'll say that for sure.
Really?
100%.
That guy. Argentinians, dude.
He looks like this nerdy grandpa.
He does.
But inside him, it's basically...
just coke and
Steve hormones? McQueen. It's Steve McQueen, Charlie Sheen. Really? Yeah. He rented... I went to the party like a year or two ago. He rented this huge mansion... Pagani's all outside that he's staged. Of course. Like purple pink lights, all you can drink, full of people, like who's who people, drinking more than they should. Like, it was a blast.
What's the craziest car related party you've been to?
I mean, that's a pretty low bar, right? The car people aren't exactly. I mean, probably that. That was fun.
Really?
And it was all these people.
Because you've been to the Playboy Mansion, right?
Yeah. That was much better, but that wasn't. Funny story.
Okay.
Funny story. Did you mean... you didn't know this story, so that was an unintentional segue.
Okay.
So, when I worked at Bentley Beverly Hills, there was this guy that worked there with me, Lee McHugh. Very cool
McEwen,
guy.
McEwen, yeah.
McHugh. There was no N. He wore suits to work every day.
He's British. Sold Bentleys and Rolls Royces. He's British.
Wore suits every day. Very cool guy.
Yes.
Also...
nice hair.
A wild guy. Nice hair. Wore suits every day.
Yeah.
Unless it was
like
Sunday.
Nice shirt.
Like suits. A three-piece when it's 100 in Beverly Hills. And I was like, dude, how... anyway.
Everybody else is in a button shirt and he's wearing a three-piece.
So he had a deal with this group that was involved with the Playboy Mansion parties. And he had like a standing thing where they would give us a table at like Playboy parties that weren't at the mansion, that were at the mansion. And we just had to loan them like three Mossons. So when they have the parties, they would use the Mossons to shuttle people from like their hotels. And then in exchange, we'd get a table at the Playboy Mansion.
How much vomit did you have to wash out?
None.
Really?
It was to take rich people to the party.
Oh, okay.
Right. And they weren't like random people. It was like rich people. So anyway, me and him became friendly, and he's like, hey, what are you doing next Saturday? And I said, I don't know. What do you got? He goes, you have been to the Playboy Mansion? And I was like, no. He's like, all right, we're going. He's like, you just have to like drop a Rolls at the Roosevelt in Hollywood. And then if you do that for me, you can come.
That's pretty badass.
I was like, really? And Hugh Hefner was like on his last legs. So I knew there's not going to be that many more of these.
Yeah.
Which there wasn't. But anyway, so that... technically, that was car related.
Definitely. That counts. Yeah,
I mean, we went to some parties through
Can I ask you a question?
Insane.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
I've never been to a Playboy Mansion. I feel like it's more hype than reality. I feel like it's... you're not really going to hook up unless, like, the girls know who you are. Do you know what I mean?
What you're doing is trying to,
like,
rationalize...
you're just going there to say you went there.
No.
No?
No.
Tell me.
No.
Break my heart.
It's amazing.
Is it as awesome as people
think
it is?
It is. I think it was... well, the place...
like, if your husband's going to the Playboy Mansion, should the wife be angry?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because it's like we were talking about earlier. If you get your hands on a crazy car... if I was like, Stan, you want to drive my McLaren F1? You're going to be like, I don't know when I'm going to get this chance again, so I'm going to overdrive it. If I'm like, Stan, do you want to borrow my Beamer? You're going to drive normal.
Right.
If I'm like, hey, Stan, want to borrow my Carrera GT? You're going to get a little squirrely.
A little bit.
So that's what I don't want. So going to Playboy Mansion, I feel like it's like a Vegas times 1,000 where everybody's the worst version of themselves.
Really?
And they're like, let's do things we wouldn't ever do because this is it. So
I could see that.
You have a couple thousand people... simultaneously.
Is it really that
going many? Completely nuts. Probably a couple thousand. That's not that much. A couple thousand. But the place itself, horrible. Like,
why?
It's like they have like green carpet, which was clearly, if you have green carpet, that means it was what, designed in the 60s, because nobody uses 70s, green carpet.
Yeah.
The green carpet, like light brown wood, which is one of the most disgusting color combos. You know those houses that only were built like in a certain period.
Yeah.
When green carpet and brown wood. And I was just thinking like...
the wood paneling on the walls, the shag carpet.
I was thinking this green carpet probably has like Wilt Chamberlain's jizz in it. Like, you know?
It's probably green because of Wilt Chamberlain's jizz.
And it just... you could tell like this place hasn't been cleaned up and it's just kind of dirty.
That's interesting.
And then they had like a tent over that they have for the party. So it's like a little humid. Everyone's wasted. I mean, it's kind of a disgusting combination.
So you're telling me that it's like Disneyland for adults in the sense of
It's what people think Vegas is. But
there's definitely that. People behind the scenes crying and like drinking to be able to go back out and be, you know.
If out. I had it my way, I would. I mean, it was probably more fun in the 70s before there was camera phones and all that weird stuff. I mean, the 60s, 70s, Wilt Chamberlain, Arnold Schwarzenegger hanging out there, young, single, famous.
Yeah.
That was probably that could be something. Cool. Eddie Murphy coming through. Richard Pryor coming through all drugged out.
That would be cool.
It would be pretty cool. But I don't know if that's just because we romanticize those people, and in 100 Definitely. Years, people would be like, Kevin Hart is up there with Richard Pryor. But during the time, we're like, he's not. But I don't know if that's our perspective.
Can I be slightly disrespectful to Kevin Hart?
I hate him.
And I mean in a good way.
I think he's a great guy.
I don't think he's a good comedian.
I don't think he's funny at all.
I think he's a great storyteller. I don't think he's a good comedian, though.
He's a great marketer.
Well, that's also true. He works his ass off. But I don't think he's actually funny. A good comedian.
No, he's not funny at
He's just a really good storyteller. Like, you're enjoying the story, and you're like, that's cool. But you're like, I'm not getting, like, belly laughs out of any of this. He's not
funny. No.
Yeah. But that's a really good example of... I think he's a nice guy, and he works really hard. He's like... It's really funny, because they do work together. Him and The Rock.
I was just going to say, I don't want to bam out The Rock because I've heard
not the Rock.
All these stories about
him. I'm saying working his ass off.
He buys his maid and Escalade, and he seems like a great guy. And everything you read, people are like, he is that guy. My thing is, like, you have...
Rock for president.
$500 million now. You don't need the money. How about instead of just making another shitty action movie, why don't you make, like, something, a piece of art that'll live forever? Like, if you could have,
yeah, but let's say,
Clint Eastwood's career or The Rock. The Rock already has made probably 50 times what Clint made.
Sure.
But if you were like, if you could pick, saying my dad's Clint Eastwood or my dad's The Rock, 50 years from now when they're both dead, and you're like, my dad's Dirty Harry or my dad is, can't name one character he was in because all his movies were goofy.
He was
I'd rather
the
my
Rock
dad.
Johnson. Why was he The Rock? Well, he was a wrestler.
Can you name one character name from a movie he's been in?
No.
Can you name Dirty Harry? I mean, all these movies?
I think you're romanticizing it because of the time period we grew up in. I think you're also right.
No, Clint Eastwood was a badass.
Same age, roughly. Clint Eastwood was a badass because he produced and directed most of the movies.
Do you want your dad to be Steve McQueen, or do you want your dad to be...
He's named, like, today's coolest guy of history. Like, good job. But, like, what was the...
Didn't make one-tenth probably of what The Rock made.
Play something for me. It's a movie he did. Play...
Who, Clint or The Rock?
Yeah, Clint. It was set in Carmel because he was living there. And it was about a female DJ, late-night DJ... And she got a stalker, and he'd call in constantly and say, play something for me. And that was the name of the movie.
I can't believe I missed this one.
But, like, no, but his range was really good. He was really, Clint's really amazing. Good. Yes.
Clint's amazing.
The whole...
Have you seen Gran Torino?
Yes.
Holy shit.
The whole, you pull this gun out of my cold dead hands thing, you overstepped.
No, that's overstepped.
And it was a musket.
Gran Torino?
Or, like, a Winchester.
Gran Torino's amazing.
It's good.
Gran Torino's amazing.
I wouldn't say amazing, but I would say
good. Dude. Dude.
Okay, how many things can you quote from the Dirty Harry movies? How many things can you quote from Gran Torino?
I've actually watched Gran Torino a lot of times.
Fine, quote something that people are going to know.
He says a lot of bad stuff. That's all the stuff that I remember about that movie.
But like the scene
the
where
part when he pulls out the fake gun that's his finger, and he says, you ever come across somebody and you realize maybe you shouldn't have messed with them?
Is it today? That's like the best scene.
There's a lot of funny stuff he says. It's really like racist, but funny.
But like, okay, so in Dirty Harry...
Because he's a grumpy old war veteran, you know?
He's the epitome of the guy that doesn't care, and he's going to stand on his principles if it kills him. Which is...
That's a good
movie.
Like,
you respect it.
What about Million Dollar Baby?
I didn't like it that much.
So, it may not be... Of course, is a movie about a woman boxer
no,
the most interesting thing?
Not because of that, because I couldn't follow the storyline that well. It wasn't
Dude,
that good.
That's a sweet movie.
I liked...
Where he's like, you're a girl, you can't box, and then he like takes a soft spot for her and trains her.
That's such an easy, like, easy script to write. Come on.
I fell for
like,
it.
Like, really?
I liked it.
Did you ever see, never mind. I don't want to go down the movie route.
Clint Eastwood and Morgan Freeman, you're really going to argue against that?
Not against it. I'm just saying
you
it's
can't
not...
can't argue against
it's
it.
It's certainly not his best work.
Was it the most original thing ever?
Right.
No. But, you know.
You got nothing.
Well, I was going to say, like, you know, when Chevy comes out with some new Corvette, is it original? No. Is it super creative? No.
What
but
do you think of the
if someone was like, hey...
So leaked photos of what they're calling the mid-engine Corvette.
Zora?
I don't know.
It's called the Zora, I think is what they're calling it.
Maybe. Is it going to replace the Corvette, or is it going to be a higher model than the Corvette?
I think it's going to be a separate one.
Is it going to be like a 200, 250 car or something like that, and it's still going to be a regular Corvette?
If it is, it's not a good idea for Chevy.
What if it's in the price range of a regular Corvette? starting at, let's say, 100 to 150.
But if it's 250, that's like, get a lot of cool stuff.
It's half of 4GT.
Yeah, that was also stupid. I'm saying 250. Think about the stuff you get for 250. You like get what? Cool stuff.
Like what?
You get a
570S.
Nice, you get a used 650.
We're not talking about used. You can't talk about used.
Okay, brand new. You get a turbo Porsche.
Yeah.
A sure. Nice loaded out cab, yeah. Turbo Porsche, Turbo S cab.
Yeah.
Which is, for the money, probably the best car ever.
Yes.
Or you get a mid-engine Corvette.
I feel like the guy that gets the Porsche is not going to get the Corvette, and vice versa.
I'm feel like if it's you. Is it even close? Would you even consider that? I wouldn't consider it for 1 second.
I got to tell you, I'm a Porsche fanboy, so that would be a hard one.
So
I feel like the Porsche Turbo is like the best everyday super hyper car ever made.
What's a not an RS, but a GT3 go for?
170-ish.
What's a GT3 RS?
In the twos.
So would you rather have a GT3 RS, a Turbo S?
Well, it depends.
570S.
It depends if the Corvette or is a touring car, like a Corvette traditionally is, or a hypercar where it's hard and stiff and aggressive and loud.
Either way, I'm not interested.
Like the Ford GT is a gigantic car that has no room on the inside. When you put it in track mode, it goes to a different spring rate on a different set of springs and is way too stiff. And it was basically made to win races, which is kind of cool, and it's why it's going to hold its value.
And it did win.
Yeah.
America.
Is it Le Mans?
Yeah.
Yeah. But
it's which not a touring car. Which patriotically makes me happy.
Yes, but it's not a touring car.
For sure.
A Porsche Turbo is a touring car. It's a grand tourer.
What's your favorite in general touring car?
Okay, describe to me the touring that I'm doing.
Like countryside, rolling through wherever there's countryside, which is not LA where there's open
roads. Not Autobahn?
No.
Okay.
Touring. Like you're going to pick up the wife, take a 40-minute drive through the hills to breakfast, then take a 30-minute drive to meet your friends for coffee. You're not like trying to set lap times, but it's got to sound good.
Okay.
Be comfy.
Okay, so it would be
maybe drive to Napa and then drive around Napa for the weekend for wine tasting and then drive back.
It would be an Aston Martin or an AMG.
I was going to say Vanquish.
Yeah.
Which we always talk shit because it's slow.
DB9 S? Not too stiff. DB9.
F12.
They would all be convertibles.
Which you don't like.
I'm not a huge fan of the F12.
What if they made the F12 in a convertible? Would that appeal to you?
The problem is the stuff they would have to do to an F12 to make it forget a better Grand Tour. Forget that stuff.
Let's just say they could cut the top. No. That's completely different. That's a girl car.
It is a girl car.
F12, no top. You could hear the F12. You could hear the V12 just singing in your ears.
Maybe.
And the wind in your hair.
But it wouldn't be a better... So, okay, let me give you some criteria for being a Grand Tourer for me. It's got to be quiet enough, especially with a top down, top up, right? It's got to be... sound good when I want it to. So when
so
I get
Vanquish
into it,
Volante.
Yes. It needs to be torquey enough. And here's my problem with Ferraris. They have no torque down low. It's all up top. It has to be torquey enough where I don't need to downshift. So it's like more poised, right? If you have to put your foot down, the car has to downshift two gears to accelerate. That's aggression, not poise. Right?
What Vanquish like about, is really, the more I think about it, when we used to drive those things around Beverly Hills, we always used to make fun because we're like, this thing's kind of slow.
No, but
if you want a Grand Touring car, that's a perfect Grand Touring car.
Because it knows what it is.
You know?
Like the best thing that Rolls-Royce figured out early on, and that's why they've used that 6 3/4 iron block gigantic motor.
I love Rolls.
Me too.
I love Rolls.
And so when
a Dawn.
Maybe.
That's
a
great car to
cruise.
It
is a great car. So like a Grand Tourer needs to be a car that when you're driving down a flat area and then you go up a hill, your foot doesn't move.
I'm going
Dawn.
The
car doesn't slow down.
I'm going Dawn.
I'm still going to go slightly sportier with the Aston, but yeah.
I'm going Dawn.
What about the bigger convertibles?
Like a drophead? Like
a drophead Phantom.
Too big.
Unnecessarily.
It's not better than a Dawn.
Is there anything cooler than pressing a button and the door closing for you?
I feel the like Dawn does that. No?
Yeah. I'm just saying all Rolls Royce.
Is there anything cooler? If there is,
like instead of reaching over in a lame way, you just sit there, press a button, and the door closes.
It looks insanely cool.
I
wish they could have the button open it as well.
Yeah.
Just so I could hit people with it.
Yeah. But then it's put in sensors, make sure you don't hit the curb.
No sensors. No necesito.
And like parking posts and other people and bicyclists.
Which one of the really cool things about an Aston is how the doors open slightly up so you don't hit curbs.
Yes.
Pretty cool.
I think, so
correct. Almost as cool as the doors in Koenigsegg.
Oh, the new Aston DBS Superleggera.
Yeah.
That thing's sexy. I saw it at Westlake GT.
Yeah, the black one.
It was the wrong color, but it was so nice.
Kind of interesting that they would pick that color for that.
The car. Satin black?
Yeah.
So
I think it's cool, but if you're trying to market that to people that are really going to buy that...
It's the wrong color for that.
Like maybe a silver...
I agree that... So
maybe British Racing Green.
So I texted Terrence, who works for Aston Martin, and we're just chatting, we're just bullshitting. And I was asking him... Well, I basically told him it kind of disappeared into the background a little bit compared to the McLarens and the Lamborghinis that are all greens and yellows and orange and that kind of thing. And he goes, well, it's a classier car. And I'm like, you know what? I agree with that. But satin black isn't classy. No. Gloss black is classy. Yeah. Like piano finish.
Yeah.
Or silver or even a gunmetal or a darker red. They actually
silver. Silver would be safe and good and would show the vents and stuff.
A little too safe. Because
that car has a lot of vents and stuff. And the black hides it.
It does. Yeah. The one they released to the media when the car first came out, that red, that was a nice car.
I don't like red.
Okay.
You want to hear a funny color story? We went one year, they had the kickoff for some vintage Bentley rally where they had like the Speed Sixes and all the crazy old Bentleys with like the tires on the outside and stuff.
Oh, like the 14 liters.
Yeah, the crazy old ones.
Pre-war.
And so it was cool because all these like older dudes that bought these things and they were going on some rally and it was cool. And so we went, it was at some like hotel, where do we start? From some hotel in Pacific Palisades or somewhere out there, some golf course hotel type scenario. And imagine like 50 of these things in a parking lot lined up, which you don't see, which is cool. And so I got there and I went to the back where they're having tea, because that's what you do.
Of course.
And I'm talking to all these guys and they all said the same thing. They said, the only color you get this car in is British Racing Green.
Okay.
They're like, so I got British Racing Green. I thought, that's cool. And of course, I'd worked for Bentley at the time, so they just beat you over the head with British Racing Green until you just like accept it. You just submit.
Which is like a dark forest green.
Which is cool.
It's a cool car.
So then I met like 10 different guys. They're like, you know what the only color you get this car in? British Racing Green. I was like, cool. So then I figured, we're going to go out. This is going to look like a factory where they're just all the same color. And then we all wander out. They're like, okay, we're going to go to our cars now. We wander out. I'm looking and like... This is like 18 different shades of green. So 98% of the people here are wrong. I mean, I don't know which one was British Racing Green.
And in all fairness, there may not have been a standardized British Racing Green at the time.
It was just funny because they were so serious about this color. And you go out and you're like, this looks like a rainbow of green. Because
there was, I got to look up the history to be correct. But there was basically a racing series where it was nation against nation. A bit like what Formula One tried to do, like
German silver.
Well, no, German silver came around differently. I can.
But I mean, they all had like a national.
So yeah, so like Americans got white. Somebody else was green, but somebody else wanted red. So the Italians ended up with red, but they didn't want it. The British got green. Japanese got like blue or something.
Yeah, I like that. It's kind of really interesting.
The history with Mercedes silver. Do you know that history? Mm-hmm. They were at Le Mans, and. This is World War II era, maybe just before or after, so 30s to 40s. And for some reason, and I've never understood why this is the case, the cars had a maximum weight. Like right now, you can't go below minimum weight because it's an unfair advantage. But what the hell do you care how heavy it is? But anyway, the car
I wonder what the reason is for that.
I don't know. But the car had a maximum weight, and it was just over. And they sanded down the car.
Paint weight thing, yeah.
Yeah, they sanded down the car to the bare aluminum and just ran it raw.
That's cool.
Yeah, it is a cool story.
Is that the end?
It can be. What do we want to talk about next week?
Well, Pebble's still approaching, but we can only beat that up so many times.
We've only really talked about Pebble once, really. The Devo hasn't been released yet. That's not sexy.
We pretty much know. It's interesting, too. Like, people are getting so good at renderings. I mean, I'm sure there's...
I haven't seen a rendering of Devo.
I'm sure if they took, like, the Vision GT, similar kit, kind of mashed that onto a Chiron, I bet you're not that far off.
Do you think Hezzy already has one on order? 100%.
Probably, yeah.
100%.
But do you know what I mean? If you took the Vision Gran Turismo body kit and then kind of slapped that on a Chiron... I bet that's not more than like 10% different from what the final product will be. So it may have a different light here and a little vent here. You know what I mean? It's sad. Maybe. Like, a lot of these cars, we know. It's not like, oh my God, I didn't know that's what they're going to do.
So
we all know what the SVJ is going to look like. I mean, there's always a little tweak.
Sure.
But we can get
pretty close. The only reason I think you might be wrong.
I'm not.
No, let me explain why. So the reason the Devo is coming out is because Winkelmann,
yep,
the former CEO of Lamborghini, the new CEO of Bugatti.
That's my boy.
When he was running Lamborghini, one of the ways he got people excited about it, because they come out with a new car model every 10 years, and it's a long time to wait, was special edition models. The Sesto Elemento, the Veneno, the... What was that fighter jet looking
one? He also did a lot of special editions that weren't that special. And I know because they were sitting there and nobody would buy them.
Fine, because you were on the sales side. But that's what he did to get excitement about it. So I think... being that guy, I don't think he's going to copy the Vision GT. It'll certainly be more aggressive because we know how slow the car is, top speed, which can only mean downforce because it still has 1,500 horsepower.
Which is bizarre. To me, that's like these like super powered SUVs. Like this 900 horsepower. Like this car so weighs what? 10 tons. Like,
right.
It's not going to be fast either way.
Yeah.
So why make it heavy? Like, the that car
they
is so
heavy.
They took
the Bentayga up Pikes Peak to get the SUV world record.
Right.
And I've got a feeling it's because just nobody has bothered considering taking a Cayenne Turbo up that thing. It's just like, stop it.
It's part of that.
Your people are dumb. Just stop trying to make SUVs with 800 horsepower, with sports suspension. It's like, the Cayenne came out, the first Cayenne, because it's Porsche, because it was blasphemy, because the fanboys were crying, it went around
isn't
the Nürburgring
faster.
Isn't that 70%
of their sales?
Yes, more of that, and Boxsters. They made it a point to tell people that it went around Nürburgring faster than the Skyline GTR, the R34.
Is that true?
Yeah. It outlapped the R34 Skyline.
R34 is from what year?
99-ish.
So there's
same time period. It was a new car.
Wow.
It outlapped the new Skyline of its day. And it was very heavy because the first Cayenne was 600 pounds heavier than the second generation
because
it was more off-road capable. But that made sense for them because of who they are. Because it's Porsche, and they're coming out with an SUV, and everybody's crying about it.
If they hadn't done that, I wonder what kind of shape Porsche would be in. Because isn't the revenue from that what allows them to do GT2 RS and things like that?
Absolutely. Well,
if they hadn't done the Cayenne...
So something like 40% of Porsche's revenue is actually engineering for other companies.
If they hadn't done the Cayenne, that company right
it
now would
them.
Be
the Boxster, the Cayenne, saved Porsche.
Right?
So
the two cars everyone cries about.
Yeah.
All the 918s and GT2 RS and 919s, that's all... from making cars for people to shuttle kids around in Beverly Hills.
Literally, they were going to discontinue the 911 back in the 90s, early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s. That's what
I'd probably advise against that.
So what happened was they developed the 928 to replace the 911.
I'd also probably advise against that.
Right. So people weren't buying into it. They didn't agree with it. It was a bad idea. That's why the 996 is such a terrible car. It was sort of an afterthought. But the Boxster is what saved them. It was sort of a knee-jerk reaction, and I heard parts of the story that the Boxster was never supposed to be a Porsche in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And the first 6 months of the production run of the Boxsters were in a paper plant because the factory wasn't ready yet. But they've had some missteps, like when they discontinued the manual transmission.
Mm-hmm.
And that, but they're really
until
good.
Until they undiscontinued it?
They're really good to responding to their customers. They're really good to going, sorry guys, our bad. We thought it was a good idea since none of you fuckers actually buy manuals.
What's interesting is all the little cars, the Boxster, the Cayman, all these cars that people kind of bastardize.
Yeah.
But then when the GT4 came out, and everyone was like, this is the greatest car ever.
It's a good car.
I think it's almost like they got it more right with that. And that's the reason they say that they always underpower the Caymans and the Boxsters.
Oh, absolutely.
Because if it had like an extra 50, 80,
oh my God.
People would be like, well, why am I going to spend more money for 911?
Yeah.
Can you imagine like a Cayman GT4 with like 500 horsepower?
Or a GT3 with a GT3 motor. So 500 horsepower, naturally aspirated GT3 motor, PDK, or manual.
That could be the most
Cayman,
fun car ever created.
Maybe make it a little bit of wide body.
Definitely new production car. That would be the most fun car you could possibly get, right? I'd rather have that driving wise than a Chiron. I mean, a Chiron would be cool to like freak your
friends
out.
I'd rather have a Cayman S than a Chiron driving wise.
But GT3 motor, that would be. What if they did that and then made like 500 of them? they'd probably go for 700 grand.
No.
They'd be sticker 200 and they'd be selling for 750.
See, that's a weird thing. If you're Porsche, how do you even price that thing?
If you're, you make it a really expensive Cayman.
Are you putting it up against your GT3
900? Well, that's why they don't, because it becomes really squirrely.
Yeah.
But if you just were, like, you know how presidents at the end of their run, they pardon all their friends?
Yeah, they go crazy.
If I was at the end of my run as, like, Porsche chairman, I'd be like, just do a 600 horsepower Cayman. And then just, I'd get out, and it'd already be in production, and all my friends would be getting them. And
it would be kind of cool.
We'd just be like, fuck it.
I mean, that's what happened with the Volkswagen Phaeton.
Amazing car.
Yes.
Basically a Bentley.
Yeah.
With Jetta badges on it.
Bentley Continental GT / Flying Spur with Jetta badges. Or Audi A8.
Which, of course, that's why the car didn't work, because...
it's too expensive.
Like, by three.
Yeah.
It's like three times more than anyone's going to pay for something with Volkswagen. But it was a good car. Yeah.
That's interesting.
I'm starting to think now, just like, if I ran a car company and could just put any engine in any car, there's so many... I mean, Ferrari could... well, I was going to say, could they wedge like a V12 in a 458? It's probably too big. But if it could...
it wouldn't go any faster.
It's not the point. Heavier. It'd just sound like a monster.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think. There's lots of weird... like, you look at the parts bin, like what you have at your disposal at, say, Volkswagen Group, the amount of, like, Frankenstein cars you could make.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, between Audi and Porsche and Lambo, all those engines and transmissions and bodies... you could do some crazy stuff.
What would you do?
I don't know. I'm trying to think.
Like a mid-engine TTRS with the R8 motor?
Like a Audi TT with like a Huracan motor or something?
R8 motor. R8 V10 motor.
Yeah. You could do some crazy stuff, right? And then maybe you could add, you know, you could throw some wide tires on it. You could do some crazy stuff.
Well, remember when Volkswagen came out with their... it was just one car. It was just for like a show, but it was a... Volkswagen GTI with a W12 in the back?
No.
It was on
but
top.
But then you get the weight. Gear. Then it's the weight. But
yeah, and they had like no tire on it, so it couldn't grip.
Yeah, but super cranked up R8 motor in a TT.
Hmm.
With like, you know, a PDK transmission.
I think it would be weird. I think it would be heavy. I think it would be bastard. It's kind of like when Nissan did the Juke car.
The what?
You heard me. Juke R. The Juke. The
I know
Nissan
what you're talking
Juke
about.
R.
I know what you're talking about.
Which was the Nissan GTR drivetrain in a Juke R.
That's probably pretty fun.
If you say
fun.
It fast, it sounds like a Juke R.
That's pretty fun.
It just does.
That's probably pretty fun to drive, actually.
I've seen it.
And it's like an urban assault vehicle, because it's tiny. You could park it anywhere.
It's top heavy. It rolls. It's got a really short wheel.
But I'm not taking to Willow Springs. If I want a car to blast around the city and be able to parallel park.
I know, but then you're driving a Juke.
I don't care.
Jukes suck.
I don't care.
I know, I guess. Those kids are getting kind of rowdy in the background, huh?
Should we go calm them down?
No. I think it's a good time to stop. That was a lot of fun, guys. Thanks for joining us on the Exotic Car Hour. Catch us on Instagram and Facebook and tell us what you thought. Take it easy.